to see all of you. I was sitting there listening. I'm thinking this is kind of like a miracle right here. I was talking to a guy this past week, and he was telling me this remarkable story about how two people met and got married, and I said, I've got a better one than that. And I think mine was better than his, but praise the Lord. That's great. So good to see all of you here today, and you are always in our hearts. I think it's been a little over 7 months since the transition took place, and at that time period, I got counsel from a number of people, ministry people, all the way from young men like Andy Gleiser to Pastor Bill Lincoln, who's been around the block for a number of years, and what's the best kind of situation with a transition. And basically, they kind of all said the same thing: give the new man space. And so that's what we wanted to do. We want to do what we believed was best. And we went about and visited a number of churches to see some friends, you know, that you don't get that opportunity to do. So we did that. And we kind of ended up at a little church in Concord, Wisconsin, eastern side of Jefferson County. We had heard about it, just a little simple Bible-type fellowship, Baptistic, and so I was kind of interested in that because that's just not too far down the road from where I grew up. And the first time we went there, there was actually a man from Rome, Wisconsin, and a believer from Rome, which I had never heard of before. And so anyway, that's where we've been. We, you know, we're just attending there and trying to encourage people. But you are always in our hearts, for sure. Well, let's take our Bibles and let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I enjoy contacts with Pastor Paul. We usually, every week, we either talk or text each other or get together once in a while for breakfast as well. And, you know, the Lord is good, isn't he? He is so good to us, and we appreciate that. And here in 2 Peter chapter 1, we're gonna look at this passage which was read this morning, and we're going to look at it in the context of what we see here is a plan. And we're at that time of the year where, you know, we are hearing about plans. If you have television on at all, you're hearing about the weight loss plan, the get in shape kind of plan, the nutrition plan, you know, start the year out right, managing your wealth plan or whatever. But here we see this morning we're going to look at the 2 Peter chapter 1 plan. And it's the plan for spiritual growth. And Peter is, exhorting the believers to grow spiritually. He's going to give some reasons, and it's important. And he's going to say, I'm going to remind you of this over and over and over. So let's look to the Lord in prayer here this morning. Father, we thank you that we can gather together freely. We thank you for this country. Lord, we pray for our nation. We do pray for our leaders. We thank you for the freedom. Father, it's not that way in all countries, and we know, Lord, that there is a hatred against your people, against your name. And Father, we come now and we look into your word, and I pray that each of us would be open to receive it, and Lord, if not, we pray that your word would be like a hammer upon a rock. And so, Father, would you allow us to have open ears now, open hearts, ears to hear. And Lord, it's your word is always for our good. You love us, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So Peter writes 2 Peter maybe a year after 1 Peter and the end of the book of Acts. It's about this time period, and the persecution is coming upon the believers, and the audience are the believers, as he sets out in 1 Peter and makes that quite clear. And here in verse 1, he follows up that first letter, and he says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. course, you've heard, we're just reminded here, the word servant is, Peter says, I am a servant, I am a bond slave, and I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am a messenger of Jesus Christ. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Who's an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative who has been sent. A representative who has been sent somewhere to represent. And of course, the word represent is represent. I am here to represent Jesus Christ. I am an apostle or a sent one or an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And we are. As believers, when we grow and we understand and we have a deep appreciation and a love for our Redeemer, our Savior, Christ, we understand that we have this calling as well. We have the privilege, we have the calling, we have the responsibility as well to be an ambassador, don't we? To represent Christ to others. And that we see in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Let's just turn over there quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. And just briefly, we'll look at verse 21 as well in a few moments. But 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." Wherever you are in life, if you're a Christian, you're an ambassador, you're a representative. "As though God did beseech you by us," as if God is speaking to you, he's appealing to you by us. What's our message? "We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Our call to lost people is reconciliation. It's the call of reconciliation. Be reconciled to God through Christ. And so Peter declares that. I'm a servant, I'm a bond slave, I'm an apostle, I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith. The equality of faith, those who are in the equality of faith. Here he's writing to fellow believers, isn't he? His message is to them. God's message is to us here today. The Bible is saying this. The Bible says this. To those who have obtained this like, not just faith, but this like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the only way that we can have this faith. It's through his righteousness. We'll go back to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. And after he says, "I'm an ambassador," he says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us." God has made Christ to be sin for us. That's substitutionary, isn't it? That's love. That's God's work on our behalf through his Son. He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That we might have the righteousness of God, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If you're saved this morning, it's not your work, is it? It's his. You have his righteousness. We don't produce it on our own. We receive it. And so Paul makes this clear. He's writing to those of like precious faith, of an equality of faith, in our Savior Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 2, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." This whole passage has to do with increasing in our faith, increasing in our knowledge of God, increasing our faith. The plan is for the growth of faith in our lives. You know, the world has all its plans. God's plan is a spiritual plan, and the plan is for the growth of faith in our lives. So grace and peace is a result of that. May grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. So grace is what? God's favor. Peter says, I just hope you have more and more of God's favor in your life. Well, God's favor is going to come through us, you know, seeking God's desire. If we desire God, he will give us the desires of our heart, and our desires are going to be equal to God's desires and God's plans for our lives. And so Peter says grace, favor, the favor of God. You know, if we're thinking about selfish plans and selfish desires, guess what? They don't match up with God's plans, do they? They don't match up with God's favor or grace in our lives. And peace be multiplied unto you. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. And what is peace? It's being bound together in harmony and well-being. Peace. Being bound together with others in harmony and well-being. Being bound together with God in harmony and well-being. What a wonderful thing to have grace, the favor of God, to have peace, the peace of God, which the Bible says passeth all understanding. What a wonderful thing to have as we go through the trials and tribulations of life, the highs and the lows of life, to have the grace and the peace of God. And that comes through what? Through the knowledge of God. And so the plan is for the growth of faith in the believer's life. He's writing to those of like precious faith who have the righteousness of God. Now we have this position by what? We've had this time in our life when we have been convinced of our sin and we have put our belief in Jesus Christ to be our substitute, our Redeemer, our Savior. You know, sometimes people, they can go through a period of time and they know the facts, but they've never had this conviction of sin. I love the old hymn at Calvary. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. This conviction came. This convincing came. I'm a sinner. And now I believe Jesus and as my Savior because I'm a wretched sinner. And he infuses into us what? His righteousness. And we become a child of God. And so this is who the message is to. The plan is for the growth of faith in the believer's life. And this is an important thing because Peter would say, I'm going to put you in remembrance of this. And I'm going to put you in remembrance of this. And it's important for believers to know these facts. And then he goes on in verse 3. And by the way, he lays out the plan. It's for the growth of faith. He tells us who it's for. It's for those who are in the faith, of like precious faith, and he's going to give the benefits of it, and then he's going to give, okay, this is how you work it out. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And this is what you got to do. You're going to have to add to your faith, and you're going to, you know, and we know there's addition by subtraction, don't we? The Bible has many commands to do what? Put off these things, but put on. Put off these things and put on. And grow in your faith. And so he says in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everything that we need spiritually is given to the believer. Through the Word, through the Bible. The Bible says these things through the indwelling Spirit, Holy Spirit in our lives as we yield to the Spirit. And this comes, the source is his divine power. It's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Life, well, what kind of lives do we consist of? A spiritual life, an emotional life. Our emotional being, our spiritual being, every satisfaction is provided according to his divine power through his word to us. Now, it's not going to heal a heart murmur, or, you know, God can heal, though, we know that. But he will give us his power to come through those times, won't he? He gives us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and through the what? Second time, through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of him. The plan is for the growth of faith. The growth of our faith. This is the plan. This is what all believers need. All believers, we all need to be growing in our faith because there's no middle ground. There's no standstill. We're either growing or we're what? We're sliding. We're dropping. We're moving away. And so we need to keep growing. You plant a seed, something grows, it keeps growing, doesn't it? Just doesn't stop for 3 weeks and nothing happens. No, the growth cycle is to continue. So he's given us all things according to his divine power, to everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He's called us to glory. He's called us to this end point of being in the presence of himself in his glory, and he's called us to a life of virtue. What is virtue? It's holy excellence. It's moral excellence. This is God's plan for his children, to change us. He's called us to glory. He has a home for us in heaven. He wants us to live a life here on earth which is pleasing to him and a blessing to us and a blessing to others. He's called us to glory and virtue. He's called us to moral excellence. And whereby are given unto us, verse 4, exceeding great and precious promises. The believer has great promises, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Well, now he's going to go on, and he's going to talk about some of these things that we will escape, and some of these things that we will avoid if we grow in our faith. If we would grow in our faith. I'm just going to skip ahead a little bit and go to verse 8. Verse 8 begins to talk about, for if these things be in you, and we'll come back to verses 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and so on, but he says, for if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to go on, and four different times he's going to talk about these things. Well, what are the things? It's your growth in faith by adding to your faith. He talks about adding to your faith, and he gives the list of these seven things that we are to grow in. And then he says, if these things be in you. Well, the great power of these things. Verse 8, that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. These things, first of all, will keep you from being barren or unfruitful. If you add to your life these things. And he'll say, give all diligence in adding to your life these things. Okay, so first of all, these things will keep you from being barren or unfruitful. Verse 9, these things will keep you from being spiritually blind. He's talking about believers here. Believers can be spiritually blind because they haven't grown. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. No, if you follow the plan, this plan is for believers, and this plan is for our spiritual growth. You won't be spiritually blind. These things keep you from being spiritually blind. We see as well, these things keep you from forgetting that you have been cleansed from your sins. We just read that at the end of verse 9. And have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. From his old sins. So if you keep these things, if you're growing, you won't forget these things. We see as well that these things keep you from falling. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Give diligence. Our faith is just not this passive faith where we just kind of let go and float. No, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. So these things will keep you from falling spiritually. Now give diligence to add these things, and you won't fall spiritually. Oh, the hurt of the fall, the disappointment of the fall, the pain of the spiritual fall. No, you give diligence. You keep adding. You keep growing in your faith. And if you do, if you give all diligence to add these things, it will keep you from what? From falling, from spiritually falling. And these things will give you an abundant entrance into the presence of the Lord. We see that in verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter wanted the believers to be ushered into the presence of the Lord in a state of great victory and great joy. And so we are to give all diligence. The Bible teaches this. You know, the Bible teaches that we are to give diligence, that we are to exert ourselves in our lives. That, what does the Bible say? If a man doesn't what? Work, he doesn't what? Eat. That's not socialism, is it? No, just think about that. That is not social. If a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. That's capitalism, if you put it in a worldly description. If a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Exert yourself. Be assertive. Here, spiritually, give all diligence to add these things. And if you do that, you won't be barren, you won't be unfruitful, you won't be spiritually blind, you won't be forgetting that you've been cleansed from your sins, so why wallow in your sins and practice sins? And you won't fall, it'll keep you from falling. Besides all that, you're going to have an abundant entrance into the presence of the Lord. Isn't that what believers want? Of course it is. And so Peter is exhorting them. He's teaching them. Well, let's go back now, and we just looked quickly at if we give diligence, if we add these things, if we follow the plan of growing in our faith, because, you know, God says we too are to be ambassadors, just like Peter was, and we too are to be slaves of our master Jesus Christ, the one who set us free from the slave market of sin, the one who freed us from an eternal hell. We belong to him, and we are to be his slaves, and we are to be his ambassadors. And so what are these things? Well, we'll go back to verse 5, and it says, and beside this, because of this, giving all, verse 5, what's the next word? Giving all diligence. We've read that before, haven't we? Give all diligence to grow in your faith, to be putting the plan into practice. You know, it's the same thing. You see all these, you know, only this is true, isn't it? I mean, But if you do this, if you pay this much money, you will transform yourself. You will, you know, improve your nutrition. You will have weight loss. You will have these results, and so on. Well, this is for our soul. This is for our spiritual growth. This is for our health. This is for our mental health. This is for our spiritual health. This is for our spiritual good. All right? And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. That this is that beginning faith. This is that believing faith that we have. Add to this faith, first of all, virtue. Add to your faith virtue. You've been saved. You've been redeemed. And add to this faith that you now have virtue. Well, this is going to come about because now, at the moment of salvation, who do you receive into your life? The Holy Spirit. And he's called the Holy Spirit because he's holy. He's separate unto God. He's separated unto God. And everything of virtue is going to be in agreement with who the Holy Spirit is. So add to your faith, first of all, virtue. Virtue deals with the areas of character. Add to your faith virtue. That which is honest, that which is of sound speech, that which is morally pure, that which is of holy excellence, that which is of courage, that which is of steadfastness, that which is reliable. The things of virtue, moral excellence. holy accents. Give all diligence to add virtue to your life. Well, that means we got to be aware of this, don't we? We've got to put off. We got to put out. We got to put out the wrong thoughts, the wrong words, the things which would not be able to stand aside and be with that of the Holy Spirit, because He's holy. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to be dragged through the mud. He's the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. And so, give all diligence to add to your life things of character, things of godly character. That's a step of growth. And this is an ongoing practice in the believer's life. We should be rooting out that which is evil. We need to say no to that which is not pleasing to God. We need to turn away from that which is not pleasing to God, the speech, the innuendos, whatever it might be, as we live in this world. And God will bless His children because of their obedience. So add to your faith virtue. And then secondly, add to virtue knowledge. Okay, the Holy Spirit's going to help us a lot with virtue because He's the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's not right. You turn away, walk away, get away. And then you add knowledge. You just keep adding knowledge, Bible truth, the knowledge of God. And this, when we have God's knowledge added to our lives, that means we're going to have an understanding about application of it. Amen. And the application of knowledge is what? Wisdom. You're going to become a wise person. You get the knowledge, you apply the knowledge, and you become a person of wisdom. So add to your faith. You know, we just went through the list of these things, and when we have these things, wow, we're going to be living the healthy spiritual life, the growing spiritual life. We're going to be following the 2 Peter chapter 1 plan. It's really the Bible plan, isn't it? Because we see these things repeated over and over. God is for our good, isn't He? Amen. God wants His best in our lives, and the hindrance is us. The hindrance is us when we go our own way, when we don't agree, when we don't cooperate with the working of God's plan, His Spirit. So add to your faith, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And of course, everything is sourced through the Bible. Yeah. Everything's going to come through the Bible, because the Bible and the indwelling Holy Spirit are always going to be in agreement. The Holy Spirit in us is always going to be in agreement with what the Bible says. So add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, secondly, and to knowledge add temperance. To knowledge add temperance. Learn temperance. Learn self-control. Add this to your life. Self-control over all of your physical desires, all of your physical appetites. Add temperance or self-control. Have temperance, have self-control over anger. That's a physical and a fleshly thing. Add this temperance to all fleshly appetites. Anger, we think of the fleshly appetites, the desires of the flesh, the sexual desires of the flesh, and there's that arena which is proper in God's sight in the realm of marriage, and there are the arenas which God says would be sinful. So have temperance, have self-control over the fleshly appetites in that realm. All the physical food, any physical appetite that we know of, become a person of self-control. Become a person of temperance. I saw this saying not too long ago, just a few weeks ago, and this is good. This is short and to the point. It said, "Sin fascinates, and then it assassinates." Sin fascinates, and then it assassinates. Because that's what the devil wants to do through sin. The devil, you know, he comes, the thief cometh not but for to what? Kill, destroy, and steal. That's what he wants. He wants to, and he uses sin to draw in. And the Bible says what? There's pleasure in sin for a season, then comes payday. Payday is never worth it, is it? Sin fascinates before it assassinates. And so we're to be people of temperance. And to temperance, patience. And patience is simply what? Endurance. We've gone through the test. We've gone through the test. We've gone through the trial. We're waiting on the Lord. We're following the Lord. And so we learn patience. Turn with me, please, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations or trials. Count it all joy. Now, if we don't look at trials and temptations as opportunities for God to grow us, and if we don't look at them in a joyful way, we're not spiritually growing, are we? That's just the bottom line. And I'm going to say that usually I don't look at trials in all joy, but that's what God wants. Because God says this is an opportunity for you to grow spiritually. Really, what's he saying here? Trials faced with joy result in patience or endurance. And so I'm not going to be learning. I'm not going to be growing if I don't, once again, face trials with joy. Because if I do, then that can result in true patience in my life, in true endurance coming about in my life, which leads, as James is going to say, which leads to spiritual growth or maturity. Amen. So we're all going to have trials. We all have them. So why do we think it's so terrible when they happen to us? You know, the Bible's pretty clear. As the sparks fly up, you know, Job said, man is born for trouble as the sparks fly upward. They're going to come. And God's plan through trials and tough times is that we face them with joy, because that will result in patience or endurance in our lives. So once again, James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect or mature and entire, complete, wanting or lacking nothing. Amen. So, you know, the first thing is to understand that if we're going to add to our faith this patience, we've got to face our trials and tests with the joy that only the Lord can give, as we look to the Lord. And then we have an opportunity to grow, don't we? How you doing, and how you been doing, and that have you been doing better than me, I hope. but that's what God's word says. Amen. When we face our trials with joy, you know, get a smile on your face. Understand that God's got a master plan here, and he's trying to develop us and grow us. But if we're going to grumble and fight our way through life, we're not going to get too far spiritually. We're going to be saved. We're redeemed. We're going to be there at the judgment seat of Christ one day. But and our works are going to be judged. But God wants us to have this glorious entry into his presence. We already saw that in the passage here this morning. So we are to keep adding. We add patience, and to patience add godliness. Well, this godliness is a godlike response. It's having a godlike response to the events of life. Godliness simply means godlikeness. And the word is we're growing. The plan is for the growth of faith, spiritual growth. We're saturating ourselves in the word. It's not what I say, it's what the Bible says. Amen. The Bible says this. And I want to be lowly, and I want to be meek, and I want to be humble, and I want to submit. And the problems come, and we face them. We face trials with joy. We learn endurance, and sometimes we just got to chuckle. So, you know, chuckle rather than grumble would be a whole lot better, wouldn't we? Okay, God, what are you going to do now? God, what are you trying to teach me now? Yes, amen. And that's what he'll do. He'll walk us through, and we will learn, and we will depend upon him. So patience, and the patience, godliness or godlikeness. And to godliness, verse 7, brotherly kindness, which is brotherly love. And it's once again here, it's the idea of harmony with one another, brotherly kindness, brotherly love, Philadelphia kind of love. And to brotherly kindness, and here we are now, we've come to that point of what? Charity. Really being people of love and understanding. Knowing who we are, we are sinners saved by grace. We are believers who are in this growth cycle. We're growing. Other believers are growing. Everybody's at a different level. But come on, let's all lock arms and let's grow together. Amen. Let's try to help one another grow and mature together. And so then verse 8, for if these things, I quickly went through these things, the importance of these things. Four different times he mentions these things. If you've given all diligence and you've added to your faith, and that first faith is that faith of belief. And that's where it all begins. I believe. I believe of my wretched condition. I've been convicted. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. John 16:8. I have been convinced that I am a sinner. I am wretched. So then I do what? I believe. I believe Jesus Christ. This is the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Christ died for our sins. If he died for our sins, he died for my sins, because I'm a part of the hour. Oh, you are. I'm a part of the grouping of mankind upon the face of the earth. So he has convinced me personally of my wretched sin, and I believe. And so Paul says, okay, you're in the family of Peter, you're in the family of God. You're a child of God, and now we need to grow. Here's the plan. Here's the plan for spiritual growth. And you add these things, and you put off those things which displease God. And he goes on, for if these things be in you, verse 8, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You won't be unfruitful. You'll be fruitful. God wants you to be fruitful. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind. You can be saved, and you can be blind. Spiritually blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. You're not going to fall. You're not going to stumble. You're not going to go into the ditch. You're not going to be a castaway. The Apostle Paul feared that. He said, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to fall. I don't want to have a spiritual fall. And by the way, when we do fall, God is willing to receive us back, isn't he? Because none of us are perfect. We've all failed. The righteous man falleth, what, seven times, it riseth yet again. But you won't fall. You'll give yourself to be a person of diligence to make these things sure in your life. Verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You will enter the gates of glory ablaze. you will have had the blessing of God upon your life during your time of your walk on earth, and now you will enter into the presence of the everlasting Lord. Now Paul, look at verse 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of, what's the phrase? These things. Amen. Yeah, number 5, I think. These things. I'm not going to fail. This is the plan of spiritual growth. And it will bring you blessing. And the cost will be your diligence. The cost will be your being convinced that God's plan for me is for my good, and it is for my best. And I will commit myself to living God's way. So, doesn't cost a penny. Right? Man's plans always have a cost. and how many times the man's plans really come to fruition. Buy the new exercise equipment, and that's good. You know, and some people they're committed. They follow through. Praise the Lord. They've got some what? They've got some willpower. They've got some temperance or self-control. But this is for our spiritual good.
Amen.
This is the most important, isn't it?
Yes.
Bodily exercise profiteth little. It profits, but it's little in comparison to our soul.
Amen.
And this is all about the ministry for our soul. This is for every believer. Peter, an apostle, an ambassador, a servant, a slave to the saints. Here's the message. Here's the plan for spiritual growth. And it's beginning of the year. It's a wonderful time.
Yes.
Let's grab hold. Let's grab hold of these things. Father, we thank you so much for our time together in your word. And Lord, you love us. You have your very best, Lord, in store for us. But Lord, we have to grasp. We have to go after. We have to put on and put off, and we have to add to our faith. And Lord, the promises that come when we live your plan. Lord, if there be any here today who have never come to the understanding of their wretched sin, they've never been saved. Lord, mankind needs salvation because of sin. If they've never been convinced of their sin, the Holy Spirit comes to convince or convict the world of sin. There's anyone here who's never been convicted of the wretched condition of their sin, which will send them to hell. Father, draw them to your Son, Jesus Christ, that they might believe in him as being their own substitute, the one who would die in their place, the one who would take the penalty, the one who shed his blood for them. Lord, do that great work. Do that miraculous work of bringing any lost soul to yourself. That's where it begins. And then as believers, Father, may we be committed, Lord, to your plan, to your love, and to your work in our lives. We pray this and ask this in Jesus' name, for his glory and for our good. Amen.
Amen.